Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Shirley Cardenas, and today we are joined by my guest, Cliff Helliwell. Cliff Helliwell is the former Director General of Policy Research at Human Resources and Skills Development Canada. His new study entitled No Shortage of Opportunity, Policy Ideas to Strengthen Canada's Labour Market in the Coming Decade, draws a broad portrait of the labour market issues Canada is likely to face over the next decade. Welcome, Mr. Helliwell. In your study, you say that Canada is in the midst of two important transitions, which could essentially affect the functioning of the labour market for years to come. Can you tell us about this?
Sure. Obviously, the first is the transition back to a full employment economy. This is taking a long time, longer than we hoped for, but perhaps not longer than we should have expected. If we've learned anything from previous recessions and recoveries, it's that while the recession itself may only last several quarters, the return to full employment does take many, many years. So right now, we're half a decade out from the onset of the late 1978 recession, and the Bank of Canada still thinks that the return to full employment and potential GDP is 2 years out from here. A lasting legacy of this recession is that we have hundreds of thousands of recent labor market entrants who had a difficult time getting established in the labor market. They haven't gotten off to a very good start. The problems of their poor start are going to have to be dealt with over the next several years. The second transition is the one that everybody's aware of. The baby boom generation is going to be leaving the labor market, or are in fact leaving the labor market. Yes, the baby boomers are leaving the labor market later. They're working longer, and labor market participation of older Canadians has been on the rise after decades of decline. That said, most people do envisage retiring, so if you delay your retirement, it changes when labor force growth will slow. It doesn't change the fact that it will.
So many employers are concerned about impending labor and skills shortages. What does your research say about the long-term prospects for Canada's labor supply and demand?
Okay. First, it reminds us that we will likely not go back to the extent of shortages reported prior to the 2008-09 recession. Aggregate labor market shortages arise when aggregate demand for GDP and workers exceeds the capacity of the economy to produce and supply the workers. I think a lot of people have forgotten that prior to the recession, the Bank of Canada estimated that aggregate demand in Canada was indeed above its longer-run potential by a considerable margin. This would have been as true for workers as for production. So by 2007, the Bank of Canada was tightening its monetary conditions somewhat to try and slow growth so that that excess demand and those shortages would have been short-lived. It's just that the recession that originated in the U.S. Overdid it big time. Second, I think we should understand very clearly that we're never going to be short a million workers, as some claimed at the time. You got to remember that the Bank of Canada's day job is to make sure that demand for production and workers does not exceed potential supply. So as we return to full employment, the Bank of Canada will be tightening monetary conditions so the demand doesn't get out of line with supply. So we'll never be in a world in which the demand for firms' production will be so far above potential to produce that they'll be short a million workers. Now, we are heading into a world in which labor force growth will of course, slow. Third, of course, we're going to face specific labor shortages. That's the inevitable consequence of being at full employment when aggregate labor demand and supply are in balance. But this is not true in every region, industry, and occupations. We're going to be in a world with too few workers in many areas and too many in others, kind of a mismatch. This is actually a good thing in one respect. The only way to get rid of that mismatch is to have it swamped by high unemployment, us in the wake of the 2008-09 recession and its aftermath. The problem comes back as you get back to full employment. That's good news.
Your study makes the point that we need to focus more on how young people are doing in acquiring and using skills. What should policymakers be thinking about in this respect?
The most important source of new skills has been, is, and will always be young Canadians. There's around 2.5 million of them every year between the ages of 25 and 29 who leave their formal education and enter the world of work. Some people have claimed that the only source of labor force growth in the future will be immigration. This is wrong, and it's dangerously misleading. It confuses the net growth in the domestic labor force with a reality of high inflows of young Canadians and rising outflows of retiring baby boomers. So job one still is to make sure our primary, secondary, and post-secondary education systems work well. This is what I refer to as our first chance system. Job two is to work on what I call our second chance system of helping those whose first chance did not work out, either through bad luck or bad choices, to make sure it works well for those who do seek a second chance. It's especially critical for those who have low skills but cannot easily get training as they already have a low-skill job. Here, we also need to consider more intensive training. You know, that said, we absolutely have to make sure that we actually measure the payoff from that training to see if it's really working. If it's not working, it won't help.
Finally, your study provides some other recommendations. What are some of the key messages for policymakers?
The first one, I think, is to make sure that the next time we have a debate about what works in training, as we're going to have now when the federal and provincial governments talk about the Canada Job Grant, that we actually have evidence on what does work. Right now, we don't have the evidence to inform that discussion. That's because we don't adequately invest in the rigorous evidence needed to enable us to manage our portfolio of training activities in a way that would permit saying this thing isn't working so well, this thing's working better, and shifting the resources towards the thing that we see that pays off, where the benefits exceed the cost of the program. You know, it should be managed as a portfolio. And this will also deal with the critique that training doesn't work very well, so why would we spend more on training? The critique is right, but it may be premature to give up on training. I think we should do it better, not just give up, but we have to measure the outcomes to see if it really is improved. Another key step is to stop looking at EI reform as a way to get workers to leave more eastern and rural areas for more western and urban areas. This doesn't sell well in eastern rural areas for starters. But what we really need is EI reform to focus on making sure EI is a solid part of the social safety net in urban Canada, where three-quarters of EI clients reside. And looking at those more eastern and rural areas, I think EI reform will ultimately be needed to liberate more of their own potential workforce, because these are areas that are facing a long period of stagnation in their workforces, given their demographics.
Thank you very much for your time today, Mr. Helliwell. Cliff Helliwell is the author of No Shortage of Opportunity, Policy Ideas to Strengthen Canada's Labour Market in the Coming Decade. You can download the study free of charge from our website at irpp.org.